levels of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We will take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
It's global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bank is in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
And welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Shikari Jackson. Now, this is what we have in store for you, a special live edition. That's right, April 17th, 2013. This is a live edition. A lot of times we pre-tape if we have the time, but we haven't had the time because we've been running the radio show Super Overdrive, myself, David Knight, Rob Dew, Alex Jones, everybody behind the camera as well. So let's get right into it. Our top story tonight: the reason for timing of the Boston false flag, bipartisan war crime actions against Bush, Obama, and Clinton, guilty of war crimes against humanity. Now, this is from Steve Pachinik. Nothing beats a sensational front page news story like the Boston Marathon Massacre. Most readers would miss the incidental but far more serious implications for the moral compass of America than the New York Times story by Scott Shane entitled U.S. Practiced Torture After 9/11. Nonpartisan review concludes. Now you're saying, what type of war crimes? Let's scroll down a little bit to some of the people here. Just give you a few. Navy Captain Albert Shimkus Jr., who ran a hospital for prisoners at Gitmo, protested the unethical behavior. New one. Nothing new about this guy. Cheney: I was and remain a strong proponent for our enhanced interrogation program. And this final one from Nancy Pelosi: wholeheartedly supported enhanced interrogation and torture. Now, Alex Jones had a chance to talk about this on the radio show today, so definitely encourage our viewers to go to prisonplanet.tv and find that in our archives. We'll move on to our next story. Navy SEAL spotted at Boston Marathon wearing suspicious backpacks. So let's see. Let's take a look right there. That is Chris Kyle, the celebrated sniper who recently lost his life. And we'll scroll down and look at some of the other images of these other SEALs. Now, just for 1 second, we'll pause on that image of Chris, scroll up just a little bit to the hat. And you can see he has the Punisher logo, the skull logo, and we'll move down to these other guys photographed of the Boston race. And you can see that's not the best image right there, but let's take a look at their clothing first before we move on to the skull images. Matching black jackets. We see the matching pants, the matching boots. Now, they're not wearing fatigues, but I would still call that a uniform, even have matching backpacks. We'll scroll down a little bit more to some more images, and you can see the Punisher logo right there on the gentleman's hat. So these guys are walking around together. They're dressed to get, you know, dressed similar or pretty much identical, in fact, and you can see the logo right there on his hat. So I would say it's safe to say that these guys were in cahoots with each other. Now, what exactly were they doing there? The jury's still out on that. There's been a lot of speculation that these guys may have been up to some dirty deeds, or the jury is still out on that, and we'll keep you up to date on that in the meantime. Next story. Let's hope the Boston Marathon bomber is a white American. And I'm pretty sure you can guess who put this one out. If you can, it's Salon, and I'm pretty sure you would have got that in the first two or three guesses. We'll go down here. The dynamics of privilege will undoubtedly influence the nation's collective reaction to attacks. We'll move down to the next paragraph. A religious or ethnic minority group lacking such privilege would likely be collectively slandered and or targeted with surveillance or profiling or worse. Now, this is the quote that sticks out to me, white privilege is knowing that even if a bomber turns out to be white, no one will call for your group to be profiled. So that's your white privilege. You guys remember a few weeks ago, Alex Jones ran the story that if you are white, you have to have your white bracelet privilege to show that you are privileged. And let's take a look at that Salon article again. There's a, if you go to their website, we don't have it on our website, but on the Salon website, maybe we can get a doc cam. You can see a picture here of Timothy McVeigh and Osama bin Laden. And Timothy McVeigh and Osama bin Laden. Now, since the Oklahoma City bombing, the image of Timothy McVeigh has been used to demonize groups. What groups, you say? Veterans, disgruntled veterans, right-wing extremists, people who like guns, people who like freedom. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Timothy McVeigh is a horribly heroic guy. He definitely is not that. But his image has become the poster child for that. So, yes, I would say he has been used to demonize groups, and the groups that he was associated with have become demonized because of his actions. Once again, I'm not saying he's a guy to celebrate, but is that the guy who got a call at his house because he went out and bought some ammo? Yeah, okay, I remember that story. All right, we'll move on to our next one. Boston Marathon conspiracy theory website is not what you think. It's actually pretty awesome. Let's find out what pretty awesome means. Theorists attempting to use the domain BostonMarathonConspiracy.com will find themselves too late. The URL has already been secured by a person concerned it could be used to host conspiracy theories. Now, this is some text from the site. I bought this domain to keep some conspiracy theory kook from owning it. Please keep the victims of this event and their families in your thoughts. Thank you. Now, you scroll down, and they just could not resist putting Mr. Alex Jones in here, because anytime you talk about a conspiracy theory, you have to put the right-wing activist Alex Jones and his infamous conspiracy site, Infowars.com, have also suggested that the attack was orchestrated by the American government as a false flag to infringe on civil liberties. Now, I believe the jury is still out on Alex. I know myself, I'm still waiting for more information to come out. We think there are some smoking guns, which I'll talk about in 1 second. But let's continue on with the article. Paragraph just below that. But as with Sandy Hook, most of these theories can probably be chalked up to coincidences. Let's just stop right there. Coincidences. There are just so many coincidences in the world. Like Dan Bodondi had a chance to point out, the smoking guns. Let's say they're not running a bomb drill, which they claim. They say, we're not running a bomb drill. We just had dogs standing over here, bomb-sniffing dogs, right next to the bombs who didn't sniff out the bombs. So, I mean, did you train the dogs to sniff for bombs? Because there's a bomb, like, right over there, which they didn't find. Also, the loudspeakers were telling people, hey, stay calm. There's nothing to worry about right before the bombs went off. And there's other things. I mean, we're not going to go into it all right now tonight. But there's plenty of stuff. And that guy as well, who had some damning things to say, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in this edition. But for right now, we're going to go to this report from Alex Jones, breaking down all the news of the day.
The biggest event in my close to 18 years on air happened today. Paul Watson, one of my best researchers, was about to come on as a guest. And he said, Alex, they have these big sites with data dumps of photos and news feeds. There are guys in uniforms, the same boots, the same pants, the same black shirts and coats, with backpacks all over the last mile. And there's people walking around with what looks like detonators in their hands. And all this is going on, and then there's like patsies whose bags match the wreckage of what the news put on air and said was the remains of the black canvas bags. So we went on air with this, and 5 minutes after, it's during break, and I watch Wolf Blitzer panicking going, I guess they're going to arrest somebody later, and they've got all this evidence, and it's footage from inside a shopping center. And I'm like, well, wait, that's the footage we've got. And so they were responding right then because they already knew about this. These were public videos and photos for almost 2.5 days. And it was hiding in plain view because all over it are men wearing Navy SEAL caps with the Punisher logo that all the SEAL teams wear, identical to what Chris Kyle wore. And you see Chris Kyle in his photos wearing the tan combat boots, the tan pants, the black shirt. Same deal over and over again. And we have the photos and the videos of all of this. And we have the eyewitnesses who've confirmed that indeed they were told, it's a drill, don't worry about guys in backpacks everywhere.
There was people on the roof with binoculars looking down onto the athlete's village at the start. There was dogs with their handlers going around sniffing for explosives, and we were told on a loud announcement that we shouldn't be concerned. This was just a drill.
So there were all these black backpacks so that police who weren't compartmentalized couldn't stop what was happening. And the real evidence of this being a false flag is that they've covered up that, and they lied about it in the press conference, the drill that's now been confirmed, that was in the Boston Globe, that was covered in News 15. And since then, Nashville News and others have talked to the marathon coach that witnessed all this, announcing, everybody be calm, don't worry about the guys with the backpacks. You see the photos, the men that look like SEALs, they look like military, bottom line, are standing around in control of the situation with their backpacks on their cell phones right in the area across the street where the bomb goes off, where they have the patsy. And I said, if this is the real patsy, because his straps of his backpack match the FBI photos of what was left of the backpack, they won't be able to release this now because we have all the John Doe number 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6s already digitally online. It isn't like Oklahoma City where the feds could declare, hey, we're going to, you know, say national security on all these 17 surveillance cameras and confiscate the VHS. This is out there. And so then they announce, we have arrested the suspect. We're going to release it. And then they said, well, now we're not, and there's not going to be a press conference, and there wasn't an arrest. Ladies and gentlemen, we have absolutely blown their program wide open because they can't show the patsies who are right there where the flags were, right there where the bomb went off, on all these different video cameras, showing different angles of it in photos. They can't show that when they're surrounded by guys in kind of the off-duty Navy SEAL uniform that the general public doesn't notice, but that is black shirts, black jackets, and khakis and tan combat boots. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. This is off the charts. And the media is like, well, we've never heard of this before. They didn't arrest the guy, and they've evacuated the courthouse he was supposedly in and for whatever cover-up, and now there won't be a press conference, and who knows what's going to happen with Obama tomorrow now? The whole script is screwed up because people basically looked at what was happening. So, if a tree fell in the forest and no one was there to hear it, did it make a sound? We're here watching this, the drills, our reporters at the press conference. They're acting incredibly suspicious as soon as he brings up false flag and drills at the press conference.
Was there any prior knowledge, though? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, was you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence. We certainly increased posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
Did you take any questions?
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more Homeland Security sticking their hands down on the pants on the streets?
No. Next question.
That's it.
Why was people being told prior?
9:30 tomorrow morning.
Why was people being told prior to the bombs going off to stay calm?
Yeah.
That's a false flag, gentlemen. Just to put more TSA on the street to rob our civil liberties.
These are the signs. And then you have Bush, Cheney, and Obama being indicted by a congressional bipartisan committee for premeditated torture and telling the military to carry out criminal torture. You've got that coming out while this is happening. There is a major shakeup at every level. And the fight for the heart and soul of this country is happening right now. But this is unprecedented. And folks, you know I don't go on air and say this is the biggest thing ever without it being huge. This is hands down the most out of control, wild breaking news that we've ever brought to you. And quite frankly, I don't want to be the person breaking this. This is incredibly dangerous. I just hope all of you viewing this realize the magnitude of it. Go to InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, get the photos, the videos, archive it, put it on your blogs. because they can't roll out the patsies now that, you know, the bombs blow up and they're running with their clothes half off like a cartoon character or something. They can't do that now because all their people in the drill are there. And again, the drill is used where most people in the drill aren't involved, but that way you could just detonate a bomb with somebody in the drill and then blame it on them. But you bring the patsies in, the Lee Harvey Oswalds, the Tim McVeighs, to be part of this. This is unprecedented. And, you know, I went and bought champagne 4 years ago when the Copenhagen documents came out that they were fraudulently lying about global warming to create a global tax. I popped champagne on the air. I called it a Death Star exploding event. This dwarfs that. If you take this news and get it out to people, this is a huge defeat. I mean, this is a huge defeat and a testament to the people. This false flag is in chaos. I commend the crew. I commend you, the viewers and listeners. It's up to you whether this thing gets millions of views. Everybody needs to see this. They are in disarray right now. I've talked to Dr. Pechenik and others. Clear false flag to basically go after the American people. This is amazing. This is a devastating victory, especially if we use it. So back to InfoWars Nightly News. The rest is up to you.
All right, great report there by Alex. That has some information even I haven't heard of. So definitely get that out to your friends and family. And people keep saying these conspiracy theories and these coincidences. Well, show them that. Is this a conspiracy theory? Is this a coincidence? Guys running around with exploded backpacks? That's some kind of theory, I guess. Even though we showed you the footage right there, but I'm sure they'll continue to deny it. And we'll go to our next story. Follow-up attack. Ryerson sent to senator who ended gun control filibuster. Second letter sent to Obama. A letter to believed to be laced with the deadly substance ryerson was intercepted in Maryland in a Maryland post office yesterday before it could reach the intended destination, the desk of a senator who had been fiercely critical of gun control legislation, yet voted to block a filibuster on the issue. The intended target of the letter was Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican from Mississippi, who in recent weeks has vowed to block any legislation that would further tighten firearms restrictions. And I like to show that tweet. That's a good tweet. Hold on to that one right there. This is by Jeff Galvin. Probably right-wing terror groups sent ryerson to all 16, quote, traitor Republican senators to end gun control filibuster. And that's what we're talking about, people blaming these right-wing extremists. I'm not saying this guy has any merit or weight to his name, but those are the kind of things that we've been seeing. And I've just been told of some breaking news from the AP. I'm told that the FBI does have a suspect in custody. Now, this is breaking news to us, teleprompter free here at the InfoWar. So you can see the article right there on your screen. FBI, Mississippi man arrested, accused in riots and letters. And that's very interesting because the same senator is a Republican from Mississippi. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure Alex Jones will have more on that on the Alex Jones radio show. But first, we had a caller call in today during the Alex Jones radio show, myself and David Knight hosting that segment. And he called and he said, hey, Alex, well, you know, we're addressing the thing to us, but about Alex Jones interview. He says, hey, you guys remember when Alex Jones talked to John McAfee of the McAfee computer software, and McAfee had found out through some, I guess you'd call them hacked laptops that he gave police in Belize that there was a big conspiracy to cook up ryerson. Now, this is back in January. McAfee, you know, a very smart guy, I'm pretty sure can hack anybody's computer, found out this information that they had tons, as he calls it, tons of ryerson being cooked up in Belize.
John McAfee, who has just been all over the headlines the last few months, is going to be joining us here in a moment.
Now that I'm in the States, I feel safe to disclose the information that I had known about for over 6 months, and that is the country of Belize has been accepting Hezbollah terrorists at the rate of about 10 per month for a couple of years, changing their identities, giving them European names, and then handling them, shipping them off into Guatemala, then across Honduras into northern Nicaragua to a training base, and also a base where they are manufacturing ryerson powder, weapons grade. That is being transported north into Mexico along with the terrorists and in league with the Zeta drug cartels. The rice and powder using the same drug routes that they ship hundreds of tons of cocaine through. The ricin is being delivered into the States.
So what can you tell us about the ricin?
A place called Wamblin. And they were making oil from a kind of beans. Castor beans is where ricin comes from. A single bean will kill an adult human. 1 milligram of purified ricin. In one of the text captures that we got, somebody, and it was on a young woman's computer that had no business talking about such things, talked about an MMD of 3 microns, meaning it's the mean mass density. It's the average diameter of a particulate of powder. Well, at 3 microns, it's definitely weaponized dust. You could take a kilogram of it and spray it over New York and kill every man, woman, and child in the entire city. This is a kilogram. And they're manufacturing this stuff by the ton. It was to me very, very scary. It was scary to the young woman. You may notice she said she was afraid. I brought her back and sent someone else with a little more experience. It's all for real, sir. If you read it carefully, if you listen to the audio tapes, especially of the police and official, it is obviously not something made up. There is way too much detailed information with names and dates.
You heard it right there. That was January 4th of this year, and we want to direct everybody who hasn't seen that interview to go to the Alex Jones YouTube page. I do believe we have that up to show our viewers. Yes, you can see it right there. Ricin attack predicted in January by John McAfee. If we can scroll up, we can show you that is on the official Alex Jones YouTube page, Alex Jones official channel. So check that out today. You can also find that on prisonplanet.tv. And big ups to that caller who called in and reminded us of that. Thank you for that call. We'll move on to our next topic here. Town of Lexington pulls permit for a pro-Second Amendment rally using Boston bombing as pretext. So anytime anything happens, you can't do anything else ever again. It's pretty much the precedent they're trying to send with this. A permit secured by the Massachusetts chapter of Gun Rights Across America to hold a pro-Second Amendment rally at Lexington Battle Green, the site of the opening shots of the American Revolution, was revoked Tuesday because of alleged, quote, security risk associated with the Boston Marathon bombings. In an emergency meeting, Lexington's Board of Selectmen Tuesday evening voted to issue a moratorium prohibiting the use of the Battle Green or Tower Park for events from April 17th to May 1st, wrote Patrick Ball of the Lexington Patch. Arguing that the rally may provoke, quote, security issues, the Board of Selectmen and Lexington Police Department officials cited public safety as the main reason for curtailing the First Amendment. So there you go. If somebody gets shot up in a movie theater, you know, I don't want you to go to a movie theater. If somebody dies in a park or at an event, you can't go there either. And don't get me wrong, I definitely have my heart go out to any victim of any crime. But, you know, it's the precedent that something happens and now nothing can ever be the same again. Everybody keeps saying we have to change our American way of life. We have to give up our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights to appease, you know, whoever. People are blaming this, blaming the Boston Massacre on the Second Amendment. I mean, it's the Second Amendment's fault that you can go to Home Depot and make a pipe bomb or an IED out of Home Depot materials. That's the Second Amendment's fault, and that's what people are trying to push. So I definitely hope they can get that overturned. I'm not sure how likely that's going to be, but I want people to have their First Amendment rights. And we'll move on now. War veteran arrested for rudely displaying rifle. I'm not exactly how you can rudely display your rifle, I guess, if you're an American trying to exercise your rights. There you can see the guy right there having his rifle taken from him because he was rudely displaying it. Now, to give you the context of this video, the gentleman you see right there being detained by the police was out hiking with his son. Now, he happens to live in an area. Now, this is the thing that people don't get. The people live up in these New York high-rises and stuff. This guy lives in an area where they have, you know, critters, you know, that they call them down here in the Southwest. They have cougars and wild boars and other things that are dangerous, aggressive game that could come upon you, especially if you have your child with you. You want to be able to defend yourself. So the gentleman had not only his rifle, but a .45 caliber pistol, I do believe, to protect him and his son. The police officer showed up to harass him. Hey, man, what are you doing with this rifle? I'm minding my own business with my rifle. And that wasn't a good enough answer for the police officer, who then tried to take the man's rifle from him, had no reason to do it. The man pulls it back because not only was he holding the rifle was strapped to his person. So he's just, you know, trying to get his ground back, takes his rifle back, and the police arrest him for rudely displaying his rifle. He's a veteran, by the way. So veterans, get this out to your veteran friends. Because they keep thinking that nobody's going to mess with them because they went out and they served and they got their Purple Hearts and they, you know, missed the birth of their children and whatnot. And when they come home, everything is going to be great. Everything's not great. You get harassed like this guy for just exercising your Second Amendment rights, trying to protect yourself and your son while you're out hiking. That's what it's come to in this country. Now we'll move on to our last story of the night. This is something that we wanted to cover earlier in the week, but, you know, we've been inundated with a lot of Second Amendment news. And by the way, there's a picture trending, I believe, of Joe Biden. This is off topic. You guys don't have to change the graphics, but a picture of Joe Biden with his sad face when he found out the Senate vote bill didn't go quite the way he wanted it to. And he had some Sandy Hook families, I do believe, in the picture. I'm not sure if we have it or not, but it's a very entertaining photo of Joe Biden. I'm not, you know, knocking the Sandy Hook families or anybody else, but Joe Biden himself, that would have been my quote of the day. Like, picture's worth a thousand words, and that's what it would have been. But we'll move on now to our last topic of the night, Peace Gardens. Why growing your own food, no matter how little, matters so much. This is from Liz Reitzig. Cultivating gardens. Even one plant in a pot means less food coming from industry. It brings us each something that we've grown, and it teaches us how to do more. Even for the most experienced gardener or farmer, producing food is more than just food. It is always a journey, always an opportunity to learn. Now, in this, she talks about Victory Gardens and, you know, during the war, well, I guess we're still in war, but, you know, during the old days, you had your Victory Garden, and she says, hey, why don't we have a Peace Garden? You know, let's just stop all the fighting, and don't get me wrong, yeah, some fights are worth fighting, but when you say we're going to have war on right-wing extremists because we believe some right-wing extremists may have been involved in the Boston Massacre, then you have issues with that. So good job to you, Liz, and hope to see more from you in the future. Now, that brings us to the end of our news portion, the special live edition. We'll be back after this break with Rob Dew's interview with Anthony Gucciardi, who had a chance to interview a witness at the Boston Marathon. Somebody said, hey, I was there, and it didn't go down the way the police are telling you in these press conferences when they're lying to guys like Dan Bedundi, who just want to get the truth out. Dan says, hey, I heard the loudspeakers. And people told me they heard the loudspeakers. They said, hey, stay calm right before the bombs go off. And the police are like, oh, no, that never happened. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about that. But first, if you like this broadcast and you like to see it continue, especially if you like the extended editions we've been doing, that cost us, cost Alex a little bit of coin to do those special broadcasts. So stop by PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. Also, you can get the nightly news, the Alex Jones radio show, the rants, all that good stuff waiting for you on PrisonPlanet.tv. So that's it for the news portion. We'll be back right after this break with Rob Dew.
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources. With over 30 years of experience in the precious metals business, I can tell you without a doubt, we are facing the most dangerous and volatile times, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Peace of mind is gold and silver. Now is the time to invest in gold. When it comes to bullion coins, our prices are competitive and the closest to melt. If it's numismatics you're looking for, we have some of the best deals out there. Visit MidasResources.com today or go to Infowars.com and click on the link to see our daily specials. Here's an example of one of our long-term specials we've been offering for more than a year. Two silver dollars from the turn of the last century, plus two powerful films, The Obama Deception and The American Dream. We also add in the book Dishonest Money, all for $72 and free shipping. The most trusted name in precious metals is Midas Resources. Call 1-800-686-2237 or go to Infowars.com. I'm Ted Anderson with Midas Resources.
We are now only entering the edge of a global financial superstorm, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Here in the United States, the private Federal Reserve is giving more than $85 billion of taxpayer money a month to themselves and other offshore foreign banks. And the worst part is, we have to pay the bank's interest on the money we give them. There is now a race between the global central bank mafia cartels to see who can devalue their country's currencies the fastest. We are already seeing big increases in inflation at the grocery store and the gas line. This will eventually lead to hyperinflation. More than a dozen top globalists like George Soros have been buying record amounts of gold while at the same time bad-mouthing it to the public. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they do. For more than 6,000 years of recorded human history, gold has been the ultimate hedge against uncertain times and inflation. Before investing in metals, it is important to do your own research and find a reputable company. Midas Resources has the highest Better Business Bureau rating of an A+. Unfortunately, very few precious metal companies can boast that. Midas Resources has assembled one of the most educated, researched, and professional teams of brokers in the industry. The evidence is overwhelming. In uncertain times, gold and silver is safe harbor. Now is the time to invest in gold. Call 800-686-2237 and Midas Resources will mail you 10 reasons to own gold absolutely free. No shipping. It's absolutely free. And finally, Ted Anderson wants to challenge you to find any deal that comes close to his two silver dollars at cost with free shipping, with two free films and a book for $72. That's more than $160 value for $72, shipping included. Click the link at Infowars.com to go to the MidasResources.com specials page. Brought to you by MidasResources.com and Ted Anderson, the trusted name in precious metals.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks to Jakari Jackson for actually sitting in and doing the live portion. We pre-recorded this interview a few hours earlier, and we're about to talk to Anthony Gucciardi. You may have known him from Natural Society. He's also started a new website called StoryLeak.com. And there's the story right there. Boston Runner details latest. Police must have known about bomb threat. And he spoke with Alistair Stevenson, the coach from University of Mobile, the cross-country coach who ran in the marathon, had just finished. And he thought it was weird that he saw police dogs and announcements over loudspeakers to be calm. It was just a drill. He saw people on the roofs. And then when we had Dan Bedondi go to the press conference and ask about this, they said there was no sort of intelligence, nothing like that. So I guess they didn't technically lie to him. They just said there was no previous intelligence. They probably didn't want to admit that they had a drill going. But anyway, we turn now to Anthony Gucciardi. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, I think what you did was great. How did you get a hold of Mr. Stevenson? And tell us about the interview. And actually, we're going to go to a clip of this in a second, but go ahead and tell us about how you were able to pull this off.
Well, it took a while. I went on Google and pretty much searched him. He works at a university, University of Mobile in Alabama. He's actually a very reputable coach, and I found out his number from one of the coaching websites. I gave him a call, and he just decided to call me back despite the fact that we had mainstream media calling him. He had hundreds of messages, and he decided to call me back, and I told him what was going on. I said, listen, they're saying that there was never a drill, that they had no intelligence whatsoever. And he was amazed at what was going on because his phone had been dead pretty much and he wasn't really connected with what was going on. He couldn't believe that they were denying it. So we did a short 4-minute interview and I told him, you know, what was going on. He said, great, let's get the truth out there. And he felt pretty much betrayed by the mainstream media since they were completely ignoring him and some of them are calling him crazy.
Well, that's almost the kind of attack that they did with Kurt Haskell when he went out and said, hey, I saw a sharp-dressed man. They tried to say, no, there was no other person that helped this guy get on the plane. There's no security footage of it. Well, we're not going to show you any security footage of it. And on and on. And this is what happens. There's one person who just, you know, because they're a good person, they speak out, and then they are immediately demonized and tried to shut down. So what exactly did y'all talk about in the interview?
Well, first of all, he had about two sentences in one Alabama.com website publication article where he's talking about they had some type of training exercise in the morning where they announced that there was a bomb training drill and there was bomb sniffing dogs and bomb squads and stuff like that. But I posted that and you posted it up at Infowars.com as well. And we were getting a lot of flack. They were saying, you know, you're lying. He didn't mean it like that. Oh, this was taken out of context. You know, yada, yada. You're a conspiracy theorist. So figured the only way was to actually contact him himself. As it turns out, we were 100% right. Actually, we were more right in the sense that it was worse than that. He said that in the very morning, there were not only bomb-sniffing dogs and bomb squads in heavy amounts, but there were rooftop people watching over that may have been snipers, and they might have been part of this private security firm we're going to talk about, but it was so heavily loaded that this guy, he's been to hundreds of marathons. I mean, this is a coach from a university that specializes in marathons, okay? This guy's been to, he told me he went to military marathons where they had less security. He's never seen anything like it in his whole life. And the key fact that he said, too, was not only has he never seen anything like it in his whole life from the bomb-sniffing dogs and all the crazy training drills that they openly admitted to on the loudspeakers and told everyone at the tent early in the morning, but consider the fact that this is the only one that a bomb actually occurred. So the other ones, not only did they not have the bomb-sniffing dogs and the bomb squads and everything like that, but none of the other ones actually had any bombs go off. So the drill shows that something was going on. They either had a tip-off or whatever. They're lying flat out, and they don't want the public to know about it.
Right, and right now what we're going to do is go to this clip from your interview. And then we also have a couple other clips. We have the press conference with where Dan Bondi asked the police commissioner, hey, you know, there were loudspeakers. Why were they telling everybody to be calm before the bombs went off? You know, and they said they have no intelligence based on that. They had no prior knowledge. So we're going to go to that clip right now, and then we'll come back and finish this interview.
There were people on the roof with binoculars looking down onto the athlete's village at the start. There was dogs with their handlers going around sniffing for explosives, and we were told on a loud announcement that we shouldn't be concerned. This was just a drill.
Cross-country coach Allie Stevenson had just crossed the finish line.
She had come to see me at the finish, and then we were walking back down towards the finish area.
Then, right where his wife had been sitting.
And all of a sudden, we heard a loud explosion.
They even made announcements on the loudspeaker about the increased security.
They kept making announcements saying to the participants, do not worry, this is just a training exercise. Evidently, I don't believe they were just having a training exercise. I think they must have known, they must have had some kind of threat for suspicion called in.
They announced over the broadcasting system that this is a training exercise. So they openly said, this is a training exercise, this is a drill. Because there's people out there that are saying that the drill never existed, and many of them are actually police saying that they never even did the training exercise. But this is for sure. You heard that over the broadcast system, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. They did run a drill at the start at the athlete's village, yes.
Was there any prior knowledge, Joe? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, was you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence. We certainly increase posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
Did you take any questions?
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security while sticking their hands down on the pants on the streets?
No.
Wow. And that was Dan Bondi there at the end, basically asking the questions that they did not want to answer. Those were not probably on the script that the rest of the mainstream media reporters got. Ask us these questions. Stay away from anything about a drill. We don't want to talk about the fact that we had bomb-sniffing dogs and snipers and other things. Now, we're going back to Anthony Gucciardi. Tell us what else Alistair Stevenson said when you asked him, basically, the media is painting him as a kook, the only guy that saw this. Did he talk to other people? Did other people hear this?
Yes. Now, the interesting thing here is that I've talked to other runners, too. I've spoken to other runners. They weren't in the tent when he was, when they started announcing these things. And some of them were saying, yeah, they had broadcasts, they had systems like that. And you can look up on Twitter when their runners were saying that early in the morning. But Alistair revealed to me, basically, that during the time he was in the tent, there was coaches and people that were really serious and preparing. The run-of-the-mill participant might not have been there at that time. So Alistair was in an interesting, advantageous position to where he was kind of ahead of the marathon as a coach, and he was operating in a very serious level, getting there very early in the morning, so he was able to hear this. I've heard that within the first 2 hours of the explosion, though, that some radio broadcasts were saying that it is some type of drill or something like that. I haven't been able to get a hold of those, but I've been getting a lot of news tips about that. But also, consider the fact that there's only two possibilities here. Number one, Alistair and other runners are completely fabricating this, and they're all crazy, right? Even though he's a well-respected coach that's been to hundreds of marathons and has never said anything like this before and isn't trying to stir up any controversy. He's not a conspiracy theorist, as you might say. He's a perfectly normal guy, and I spoke to him on the phone personally, so I would know that. Number two, the other option is that the police commissioner is not telling the truth about the intelligence, or that for whatever reason the government is lying. Now, if we look at the motives behind these situations, why would Alistair lie about this as well as the other runners? They have absolutely no motivation whatsoever. In fact, if you note on that call, Alistair actually said that he wanted increased security at these marathons. So he's not actually, what you call a conspiracy theorist who's against the government. In fact, he was calling for more government security, which I at least completely disagree with.
Yeah, so this is... He buys into that. You get with, more tyranny, you will get security, as they say, or as we like to say.
Exactly. So yeah. This guy is not some kook, he just genuinely wants the message out there. He has no motivations besides getting the truth out there. And, speaking with him, he feels completely backstabbed by the media because they basically say the only argument they have is that it's a conspiracy theory. They don't want to talk about the facts. And think about how ruined our truth level of information is. If we can't even get the simple fact that there was a drill that morning, can you imagine what else they're not telling us about this entire event?
Exactly. And it's going to come out eventually. Somebody's going to look on their phone because everybody's going to go to where the explosion happened. If you're saying this was 2 or 3 hours before the race even started, somebody's got that video somewhere, and it's going to appear. It's just people having to go through all their stuff, look at it. Everybody's putting up the stuff from the explosion because that's what the authorities are calling for. And eventually I think we're going to find those little bits, and you'll be able to hear, this is only a drill, this is only a drill. And then what are they going to say? And then what's their, how can they cover up that lie with another lie, saying, well, we had a drill, but it was for other things. We were drilling, maybe we need to get more Gatorade out to the runners, I mean, there's just no conceivable way they could back down from this. And, we've basically blown the issue out in the open, so... That's pretty good. Now, today we released a bunch of these photos that Paul Watson found on 4chan, and you guys can start pulling those up. Boston bombing culprits identified. It shows a guy who definitely looks like he could be turned into a patsy. He's got he looks like he's wearing a robe with a red shirt and a blue kind of, pullover jacket. And then it shows some other military-looking guys, one of which is wearing a hat with a skull on it. And you were telling me earlier that that is the insignia, in addition to being a Navy SEAL insignia, it's also that of a private security firm.
That's right. I believe that those military-looking people were part of a private security firm called Kraft. And if you go to, it's called Kraft International. If you go to the website, thekraft.com, you can scroll down and click About Us. And then when you scroll down a little bit more, you'll see Chris Kyle in one of those photos. But you'll also note that at the top of the tab, a little thumbnail exists that is the exact Punisher skull that's on the hat of the military guy. Also, you'll see the picture of Chris Kyle, who is the founder of Kraft, the private military force similar to Blackwater or Z. And you'll see Chris Kyle sitting there with his sniper and the Punisher symbol on his hat. And it's a black hat with the white Punisher symbol. And he's wearing not only just the hat with the same exact symbol, but he's wearing those khaki-style military pants with the exact same boots and a black shirt. If you compare that to the photos of the military people in the Boston Marathon, not only are they wearing the exact same hat, the exact same pants, boots, but they're wearing a black jacket. And it appears that they're likely hired from Kraft International by, I guess, the Boston government, because they're also seen afterwards assisting with some of the survivors and stuff like that, the injured and everything like that. So I don't know why private security is there. It just pushes it even further. They've got bomb squads, bomb-sniffing dogs, private security that's similar to Blackwater, rooftop snipers. What the heck? What's going on?
Well, that would be interesting to confirm, and we definitely need to get confirmation on that. Were there private security firms? Was the private security firm started by Chris Kyle actually their craft, like you say? And what would be even more interesting is Chris Kyle was killed just a month and a half ago. Did he even know about this? Is that a possibility? I mean, you know, I'm just hearing you talk about this, that's starting to go through my head. Did he know about this operation, want to stand down? And he was told, you know, no, essentially. I mean, what happened there? That's an interesting question to propose.
And couldn't they get a different private security company? I mean, why does it have to be linked to Chris Kyle, who recently just died? I mean, it's definitely weird. They, if you go on the site, The Craft, and read about it, they train everything from master snipers to different law enforcement. You can click the law enforcement tab that I'm on right now. The law enforcement sniper course, team leader snipers. They have everything. I mean, this is maybe even crazier than Blackwater. I don't know, but if they're there, if this is truly craft people, it would put a whole new level on this story and make it really kind of come together in some ways. I mean, something they must have suspected a major threat.
Well, that, hiring that would definitely be something to confirm. There's the patch right there and their logo. It looks like it's got a crosshair in one of the eyes of the skull. And you scroll down and there's the picture of Chris Kyle. And we actually start off our article. It does have a picture of Chris Kyle, and then it goes into all these other guys. So you can see what he's wearing and what they're wearing. And, wow. I'm just looking at the images now. That skull is everywhere.
That skull's everywhere.
That skull, it's not like they're trying to hide it.
It's not like a common thing either. I mean, you don't just go out and wear a SEAL team skull. You'll get beat, you know? I mean, if a real SEAL member or if Kraft saw you, I mean, they look like military. They're wearing a wire, you know?
Yeah.
They're not just random people like thinking they're cool wearing a Punisher sign. They're wearing a wire. It's very, very obvious that they're some type of military people. But speaking of the pictures on your info on Infowars.com right now with the Boston article, go down to the one that says bag and no bag with that guy with the white hat and the black shirt or jacket and the backpack.
Oh, where the bulge, you can see the bulge in the backpack?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, if we look at the CBS report, which is the latest one that's available on Drudge right now, it says that the suspect, whether or not they're in custody or not, it's not really sure, but it's a white male wearing a white baseball cap that at the time was on backwards in Lord & Taylor, and a black jacket. So
no mention of a backpack.
No mention of a backpack. But to me, that would be the most convincing of the photos as to who the suspect may be. I'm not saying it is.
Right.
But it looks pretty much on target with what they're saying. And in the second photo, he could be carrying the backpack as his hands are kind of together. But if he's not, then that would mean that he got rid of the backpack somewhere else. And that could be an explosive. And then also look how he's looking away.
Yeah.
What everyone else is looking at is the race.
Right.
He's just kind of dazed off, like looking away. And, you know, this is totally speculation, but it looks like, you know, if it were this kind of guy, this would be the look of someone on, antidepressants.
Well, and if you scroll down even further, you go to this guy that to me looks like if anyone would be a patsy, this is casting 101 of a patsy. He's got a kind of a beard. Doesn't really look interested in what's going on, kind of hunched over. Looks like he's wearing a bathrobe, but I think it's just like an older kind of fleece jacket.
These images have been around since last night. And
yeah.
Actually, what's funny is me and Mike Adams were talking about this at about 9 a.m. today. And I sent him this picture with the bearded guy. Not that exact one, but the one with the straps, the gray straps. And I said, well, look at that. You know, if there's anyone that the mainstream media's wet dream as the suspect, it's that guy. Not only is he white, you know, looks like a typical conservative, a little bit of a beer belly, you know, average American, but he just absolutely looks like a conservative gun owner.
Yeah.
And they could easily say, oh, you know, the gunpowder, the black powder, everything. They could demonize him to no end.
And we don't know this for sure. These are just the photos that were posted on 4chan. They're the ones that they circled. They're looking at the backpacks, comparing them. You know, so we don't know for sure. We're still going through this. I mean, we're just going on 48 hours now from this event, which I think it's amazing that we've gotten this much information so quickly, you know, with the help of all these sites out there and other investigators and people looking at the police. There's a guy that always downloads the scanner footage.
Scanner.
Yeah, and puts it up online for people to hear. So there's all this information out there that people are going through and looking at. I mean, believe me, there's already crazy stuff where they supposedly showed a photo of the principal who died at Sandy Hook saying she was one of the victims.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, where are they getting all this information? It's just coming out so quickly. But, you know, I think it's good that we posted these pictures, at least so they're out there. And it looks like from the time CNN said that they had a suspect, we posted these pictures, and all of a sudden CNN said, no, we don't have a suspect. We don't have a suspect. All happening in real time.
That's right. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to talk about what it looks like, what the situation looks like, so we can get an understanding. We can start issuing predictions that most likely, you know, Alex was on air the other day, and I've talked about this with Mike Adams and others as well. It was looking like the Saudi man, however it's pronounced, was going to be the suspect.
Right.
And then they said that's fake.
Yeah.
But Alex was saying from day one that it's going to be a white conservative, or speculating, you know, it's likely going to be a white conservative. And then Salon says that, you know, he basically dreams at night about white men going to jail. And so now look, they're pinning it again on a white man, even though it looked like the odds were against them. It's also, by the way, the pressure cooker bomb is similar in design to Afghanistan-based IEDs. So it's actually a Middle Eastern-styled weapon. So if anything, if we were looking at this blindly, we would say it's most likely from someone from the Middle East, right? But not the media.
Unless it's a returning veteran, then, you know, who's been in Afghanistan and learned the ways of the Afghanis and their IED making.
And that's true. And the CNN analyst, he immediately was like, oh, well, if it's an amateur bomb, it has to be a white conservative, extreme right-wing conservative. But, you know, it's immediately pinned on the right-wing conservatives for an agenda, no question.
Wow. Well, I think your interview with Alastair Stevenson is bringing up more questions that we have. It's not answering more because now, you know, there seems like there was definitely a drill going on. He heard the loudspeakers. Other runners that he talked to heard it. He saw the bomb-sniffing dogs everywhere. We were just showing pictures of bomb-sniffing dogs that were there. And, you know, they had the biggest police presence there ever. 400 federal, 1,000, and 400 of these federal could have been some of these hired private security. We don't know that. Yeah, we don't know that. That would be interesting to find out if Kraft or other security firms were in on this on a private security level working for the federal government. Because they do use these guys all over the world for other missions. You know, we can't just live in peace. We have to have this perpetual terror threat coming at us, so we have to have increased security so we have less rights. That's where it always goes to: less rights, more security, which means a more powerful centralized government that is accountable to no one. So with that, we're going to leave you now. If you get any more information, you know, send it our way. We'll post it, and we'll keep looking at this as it continues. Thank you, Anthony Gucciardi from Natural Society. Give him your website real quick.
Well, my new website actually is storyleak.com, which is where the Alastair interview is and everything like that. I've been breaking down gun rights and everything from the Boston Marathon. So thanks a lot for having me.
All right, storyleak.com. We got naturalsociety.com. I was actually talking to Anthony before the interview, and he was saying, you know, I had to start a new site just because, you know, health is important, but if we don't have our freedoms, it doesn't matter if we have our health. And he's right, you know. And that's going to do it for us today. Be sure you tune in tomorrow. We're still running that free stream. I imagine we're going to run it till the end of the week, and you can go to there. Go see that at Infowars.com. Right in the top right, there's a Listen Live link. Or if you go to Infowars.com/listen. So be sure and take advantage of that and become a member of Prison Planet TV if you haven't done so. It's prisonplanet.tv, and you can get a $5.95 per month membership. And you can also share the password with up to 10 of your other friends, and you can all be on at the same time watching the shows, watching the movies, downloading the books, downloading the movies. Basically, anything you can do right now to get the word out is utmost of importance. And with that, we'll see you tomorrow. This is InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm Rob Due.